Turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11. And we read the verse 14 to the verse 26. Luke 11, the verse 14 to the verse 26. Come, let us hear God's holy word. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armour, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in, and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice, and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God, and keep it. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and we pray that he will bless it to us here in this place this evening. Well, dear young people, if you please have your Bibles open there in Luke chapter 11. Now, young people, as we come to this passage of Holy Scripture here, we come to some of the most important statements of truth that we will ever hear about who we are. Some of the most important statements that any single person will one day actually have to deal with. We hear statements about ourselves, about two kingdoms, about God. The things that the Lord Jesus Christ says here bear significant reality upon our hearts. The words spoken, have a look particularly, it's the verse 23 that I want to consider this evening. Words that come from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not scattereth. And those words there found in that verse 23, I believe these are probably the most important statements of truth that any single person will hear and will one day have to face up to. The words here spoken of our Lord Jesus Christ, because they bear implication upon us. They don't come to us in a neutral way. This is not a verse that we can pick and choose what we want to do with. Now, I suppose I could just read the words. Have a look there, verse 23. I could just read the words out to you aloud and send you all on your way home tonight. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. But my task this evening as a minister of God's word is to faithfully explain this verse that we read here and then to open up these words to our hearts. What do they mean? Firstly, in the light of the context of this passage, what do these words mean? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. I want to consider, firstly, what do these words mean in the light of this passage, in the context of this passage, and also the illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ gives here. He is actually healing a man, and he pronounces these words. These words come in the midst of that, but these words also, young people, have direct meaning and application to us tonight. So let us consider that. So I want to look at this verse tonight within the context of what is being said here, and also the illustration that we find in this very real happening, and then the direct application to you and I this evening. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So, in light of those two things, I suppose the there on the scene as the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and the now, that is while we wait for the Lord's coming. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not scatters. So firstly, the circumstances, the there, and the then. Who were the hearers? Who was he speaking to? Look at the verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then it says, and he said unto them. So immediately there, some of his hearers, who were they? They were the disciples, weren't they? So they heard these words, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not scattereth. And then secondly, notice the verse 13. As the Lord Jesus Christ finishes teaching them how to pray, and again, this is not the Sermon on the Mount, but this is another setting. He teaches them how to pray, and immediately the verse 14, straight after that, and he was casting out a devil, and it was done. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, that is, of the man, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, who would be Satan, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, and so on. So, if you have a look at those verses there, particularly the verse 15, some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. There were others, there were skeptics there. There were those that rejected him. There were those who were cynics, unbelievers, religious hypocrites. The Pharisees, no doubt. The scribes, perhaps some of them there. And they wanted a further sign to prove that he was indeed the Messiah. The strange thing is, why would Jesus Christ cast out devils if he was on the devil's side? Why would he be casting out devils? It's foolish thinking on their part. Now notice, there are not only the disciples there, there are not only the cynics and the skeptics, if you like, unbelievers, religious hypocrites looking for a further sign. But also, if you come down to the verse 27, you notice there is a woman that is present, and she has a very favorable disposition toward the Lord Jesus. Have a look. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps, or the breasts, which thou hast sucked. And so you have this woman. She seems to be very positive about the Lord Jesus Christ. He has spoken these things, and then right at the end, she is not a cynic. She is somebody who seems to be on his side. She is somebody that seems to be a believer. So they've got the disciples there. You've got these unbelievers, these religious hypocrites, looking for the further sign. And then you've got this woman of this very favorable disposition. So there are at least, we could say, at least three categories, maybe four, maybe five, of people. But if you look at the verse 23, young people, the Lord speaking to all of these people all around him, what does he say? He says, basically, there are only two categories of people. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So, in other words, what he's saying is there are only two categories of people, because there are only two kingdoms. There is Christ's kingdom, and then there is the devil's kingdom, or Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air that works in the hearts of unbelievers. And what our Lord Jesus Christ says here, look at the verse 23, he that is not with me is against me. In other words, the person that is not with me, the person that has not identified himself with me, is actually against me. And he that gathereth not with me scatters. So as surely as there are two kingdoms, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that is not with me is against me, is not in my kingdom, and is in that kingdom of the realm of Satan. Now, young people, many people are greatly mistaken in this world. They think that there are many categories of people. Some people say, well, some people are not so bad, and, you know, some people are better than others, and so on. Well, the Christian is a sinner, but the difference is he is in the kingdom of heaven because he is with Christ. He has identified himself with Christ. He has believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned here, look, he that is not with me is against me. Those that are with him are his people, and they don't scatter. Those that are against him, and they scatter. Now, something else. What initiated these words? Have a look at the verse 14. We're told that the Lord Jesus Christ here casts out a demon from a man, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, that is, the man that could not speak. And the people wondered, they marveled. But now notice the verse 15. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom is divided against itself and is brought to desolation. That is, it will come to ruins. If a kingdom is divided against itself, it will not go any further. It will come to desolation. And notice, and a house divided against a house falleth. And then the verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? In other words, he's saying to these religious hypocrites and these skeptics, if you say that I'm doing the work of the devil, if I'm casting out demons, and I am on Satan's side, how will Satan's kingdom stand? It won't stand. How is it that you say this? And then the verse 19, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I am not in that kingdom. I, by the finger of God, cast out these devils, and surely that kingdom has come upon you. It is here. It is now. You are seeing another kingdom, not Satan's kingdom. So he clearly says here, it is plain in black and white, is it not, that there are two categories of people. There are two kingdoms. You're either in the one or you're in the other. Have a look. What he does now is he gives an illustration, really, of what he's just done. He's cast out a devil from a man. And this is what has actually happened in the spiritual realm. As he has cast out this devil, look at the verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now, notice the application to what he has just done. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters. That follows immediately, does it not, from the verse 22. In other words, what has the Lord Jesus Christ done? The devil was occupying the body and had influence, great influence, upon the soul of that man of whom he cast out the devil. But Christ, who is the stronger, have a look, he speaks about a strong man, verse 21. But verse 22, when a stronger than he, in other words, Christ is stronger than the devil, he is God incarnate, he casts out the devil from this man. Why? Because he is stronger than the strong man who has a hold upon this man. So you see here, Satan's kingdom is the strong man, verse 21. Whereas Christ's kingdom is the stronger man. Christ is the king of that kingdom. And he is the one who subdues all of his enemies. He is the one that sets his people free from sin, from a life of sin, and in fact lays down his life for their sin. He dies for their sin. And here he says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters." Now why does he say this? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? Because there are two kingdoms, and what he is saying is there is nobody in between. In this world, you're either belonging to Jesus Christ, and I know this is not flattering, young people, you're either belonging to Jesus Christ or you belong to another realm. It's like this, I suppose there are boys and girls, there are young men and there are young ladies in this room. And I could say to the young boys, you stand on this side of the room. And all the boys would stand on this side of the room. And I would say to the young ladies, you stand on that side of the room. And so there would be two sides, right? There are no innocuous ifs, there are no neuters. And so as you are in this room, there is no neutrality. There's nobody going to be standing on the line saying, well, I don't know whether I'm a boy or a girl. There are no innocuous ifs. In the same way, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, he makes a very clear general affirmation. It's true about every single person in this world. He that is not with me is against me. And he said it in the midst of all of these people, and in particular, you go back, you look at that woman in the verse 27, she is full of praise to the Lord. And what does he say to her? Does he say, well done, man, nice fine words, thank you for praising my mother, blessed is the womb that bore you, and the paps that gave you suck. Is the Lord Jesus Christ saying, well, you're a wonderful person, you've said all of these wonderful things about me? No. He said, blessed are they rather that hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, young people, there is no neutrality. You're either with Christ, you either identify with him, or you're on the other side. You can't just say, well, I think Jesus Christ is a nice person. I will accept him as some sort of religious teacher, and I think he's a fine man. And actually, I don't hate the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't hate Christians. Well, young people, as far as Christ is concerned, he says if you are not with him, and what does it mean to be with him? It is to identify yourself with him. He that is not with me, him as the Saviour, as the only Saviour of men. If you do not identify yourself as a sinner and him to be your Saviour, Jesus Christ, and I say this in love, I say it in concern, as far as he's concerned, you are against him. Now you say, well, how can that be so? I've never said anything to offend Jesus Christ. Well, my dear friends, young people, the Lord Jesus Christ claimed here, firstly, you've got to accept it because he is God and he is making this statement. He determines what reality is. You might feel you are not against him, but as far as he is concerned, you are against him. And I'll tell you why you're against him. Because you are the creature and he is the creator. And you and I were not made to be free agents in this world. God made man to glorify him. And we have not done that from the moment we were born. From the moment we came into this world, we started to tell lies. We started to do wrong things. From the moment we came into this world, we started to sin. The Bible tells us that our sin has made a separation between us and God. And as far as Christ is concerned, if we are not with him, we are actively against him. Because you are living a life separated from God. You're saying, it's my life, I'll live how I want. I don't care what God says, I don't care what Christ says. Well, I won't speak ill against Christ. I'll go to church, I'll honour my parents, but I just won't give my life to God. I won't follow him. Well, Jesus Christ says here, look with your own eyes, young people. He that is not with me is against me. And that's very sobering. It's frightening, isn't it, to think that if you have not aligned yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God, and because he is the only way by which we may be saved, forgiveness and peace with God only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you reject that way of peace, if you reject peace on God's terms, you are against him. And there's no other way to say this. Remember this last year, over this last year, I've been reflecting. You and I, we've studied the great seven I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through those statements, and in the gospel, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done is he has manifested, he has shown all of his credentials to be the great I am. And you see, by you not being with him and identifying and renouncing your life and stepping aside and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are actively against him. You see, you knowing such, you knowing that he is the great I am, puts you in a position of indictment. There's no neutrality. He that is not with me, young people, Jesus Christ said, is against me. You can't just say, well, I respect the Lord Jesus Christ, I tip my hat to him, I pay a little respect. That won't do. You see, that's sitting on the fence. As far as he's concerned, there is no fence. You're either with him or you're against him. The Lord Jesus Christ can't be for you if you just treat him like some religious guru. You know, like he's some respectable person. He claimed to be God. Remember what he said in John 8:58? Before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. That is, no boy, no girl, no old man, no young man, no old woman, no young girl. Nobody can come to the Father but by him. And you see, you, by living this life, if you are, and the Lord knows your hearts, I don't know your heart. I don't know who are the Lord's here, but I'm just warning those of you who are living apart from him and think that you can have some neutrality by not identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it'll not be good enough. Look at the woman's words here. This woman that speaks from the crowd, she's heard all of this and she speaks such praise to the Lord. Blessed be the womb that bore you, and so on. Respect for Christ's mother, respect for his family, respect for him even as a person. And really, in essence, she was speaking well of him. You can't just speak well of Jesus Christ. But have a look there. Jesus Christ says, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And the Lord Jesus Christ said elsewhere, the Jews said, what must we do to do the works of God? And you know what Jesus Christ turned around and said? The work of God is that you should believe on his Son. And young people, if you are not believing upon Christ, you are not with him. And what does it mean to be with him? It is to give him the supreme devotion that he deserves as God. And that's to submit to every claim that he makes in your life. His claim as God and his claim over you to submit to him and to gather with him. Look, he uses the words, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not. You see, the life of somebody that is with him is the life of somebody that is in the business of gathering souls, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the good news. Now, young people, I say again on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage, and I say this without venom, and I say this without any glee, but I say this with solemnity, and I say it very sadly, that if you are not with him, you are against him. And it brings sadness to my heart to have to say that, but it's the truth. And I would be lying and I would be misrepresenting the Bible here if I wasn't going to say that. Maybe you say, well, it's not fair. I don't hate him. I respect the Lord Jesus Christ. I respect Christians. I love the church. I obey my parents. I go to church and so on. Yeah, but you see, you missed the big issue. The big issue is this, again I come back to it, who is Jesus Christ? He is the Creator, he is God, you and I are creatures. And every day we breathe his air, we live in his world, and we, from the moment we came into this world, We have denied him and we have strayed from him ever since we left the womb of our mother. And the issue is this, that Jesus Christ, right here in this verse and in all of Scripture, makes the ultimate claim over you. He makes these ultimate claims. He has the right to say that you are against him if you are not with him. And that is because of who he is. He is God. You see, it doesn't matter what you feel. You might feel, well, I don't resent him. I am respectable. Just like this woman in the verse 27, look, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He didn't commend what she said. And you know, you can say all the right things, young people, but unless you are with Christ, unless you identify yourself with him now, you are actively against him right now. Well, the Christian life is that being with Christ. He comes to abide in us. This is what the Lord Jesus said, if a man abide in me and I in him, he shall bear much fruit. When God begins this work, and how do we get into Christ? How do we become a Christian? Well, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How did I become a Christian? How did others become a Christian? Well, when we began to hear the word of God, but more than that, when we began to submit to the word of God. When God broke us over our sins, and God showed us our need of Jesus Christ. And then when we become a Christian, have a look there. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not. So the Christian is somebody that gathers, is it not? The Christian is somebody that gathers. What is it? It's gathering in the souls. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's gathering up good works, storing up good works to God, giving our lives to him. A Christian is described as a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He's shining for Christ. He's gathering for Christ. And then he said elsewhere, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then he said to his disciples, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, a Christian is somebody that is in the business of gathering in for God's kingdom. And they are concerned for God's glory, and they want to give themselves to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, don't be deceived. There is no neutrality in doing nothing. The absence of a life to Christ and in Christ is active antagonism against him. He that is not with me is against me. And really what that means is to be in league with the devil himself. And that is a very frightening thing, to think that we have lived a life against Jesus Christ. Now I know that's not a very flattering thing for me to say to you if you're not saved. And I know that there must be some that are greatly offended here tonight. But that really is the summation of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. If you're not with me, you are against me. And you know, it's really the very essence of the devil himself, to say, I'll live apart from God. Well, Satan did just that. He wanted to be apart from God. He said, I shall ascend. I shall be like God. I'll be like my own God. And that's really what you're saying. When you live apart from Jesus Christ, you say, I'll be the master of my own destiny. I'll be the one that's in control. No, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. I am the creator. You are the creature. And we must submit to him. Now, let me say a few things as we close. To be against the Lord Jesus Christ is to be in a very real present danger, young people. To live your life now against the Lord Jesus Christ, you may appear to be outwardly respectable. You may appear to be courteous. But let me say this, you are in real danger. You might fool others, but you won't fool Christ. If you look at the clear illustration here in verses 24 to 26, what does he do when he saves a man? Verse 24, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Now, let me just give the illustration. You see this man in verses 24 to 26. An evil spirit has passed from him. It's like a person that can be sort of washed up on the outside, or somebody that appears to be saved. And what happens? That evil spirit leaves them for a while, and then the devil comes back, and the person is worse off. What Christ wants is the whole heart of the person. He wants your whole life. He doesn't want bits and pieces. You could be like this man, swept and garnished and cleaned up, but you know, it's not before long that you're worse off. What we have here is somebody that is just carnal. You can't be a carnal Christian. You have to be a real Christian. Jesus Christ said, if a man abide in me and I in him, when you become a Christian, the Lord comes to live in your heart. He comes to rule in your heart. He comes to reign in your heart. This is why he is stronger than the strong man. He utterly changes your life, but you see, you have to trust him with that. You have to yield to him. You have to submit to him. He will not have half the heart. He will have your whole person be subject to him, because he is God and he is worthy of your whole heart. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be prepared to give him our whole life. And we must be prepared to say that he knows best for us. But let me say this, if you are right now not with him, you are in spiritual danger, real spiritual danger, because it's easy to deceive people. A lot of people I've known have claimed to be Christians, and they've gone through all the outward formalities, said all the right things, but there's been no real change of heart, and they actually become worse sinners. That's what the Pharisees were like. But the Christian is somebody that has given his life and is following Jesus Christ. Well, God changes that life. He that is not with me is against me. But lastly, let me say this. To be against him right now is to be in a place of future tragedy. To be against him now, and to be against him in this life, is to be in a place of eternal tragedy. On that last day, when he divides the sheep from the goats, he will say to some, he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. Not only are you in spiritual danger now of becoming Pharisaical, like the Pharisees were, yet so easy to deceive people. I mean, these men didn't even pray. We're told by the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be like the Pharisees, because they only love to pray on the street corners or when they go to church, but they would never go home and pray in their closets. But you see, to be against him now and to live a life apart from him is to be in future tragedy. Because he will say to you, eventually, depart from me. I never knew you. You wanted your life, you wanted to be your own man, you wanted to be your own woman. In this life, you wanted your desires, you did not want my desires, you wanted your way, you wanted your life. What he will say is, now depart from me. And what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It's terrible. It's to depart from all that is good. It's to depart from all that is loving. Jesus Christ speaks of the very fact that those that go to a lost eternity, he speaks of hell and he speaks of fire. But now, hell is not about fire. Fire of hell was a symbol. Those things were symbols. If only hell were fire, young people. If only you could be annihilated in hell. It wouldn't be so bad. But the Lord Jesus Christ uses words like perish, and hell will be a place where you will perish and where the worm does not die. Now, you know what rubber is. When you see rubber, maybe an old tire or something like that, along the seashore, and you look at it, the elements, the sun, the sea salt, the wind and everything has started to perish that tire, the rubber. And what does that mean? Well, it's lost its elasticity. It's lost the purpose for which it was made. You see, when people go to hell, they become less of a person. Everything good is taken away. All grace. People will become more loathsome to themselves and to others. You will have the company of the devil himself, and you will become like him. You see, because all influence of grace is upon you now. Here I am, and here we are week or month after month preaching God's word. You have the influence of your parents. You have the influence of those in the church. And these are influences of good, but in hell, young people, there will be no influence of good upon you there. There will be no grace, and you will become worse and worse. There will be no gospel preached in hell. There will be no forgiveness in hell. There will be none of that, but everlasting torment. And so take seriously, as I close now, the words of the Lord Jesus: he that is not with me is against me. Don't try to comfort yourself, young person, in thinking, well, I don't hate the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not against him. That's not what he says. He says, if you are not with me, you are actually against me. You're against all the principles of good, because I am God, and I am worthy to be followed, to be obeyed, and to be worshipped. And young people, if you don't do it now in this life, it'll be too late in eternity to come. There will be a departing from him. I hope it will not be so. But may you be able to say, I'm with Christ now, and I will give, he is worthy of my all. And I will not go into another year. We're entering another year, young people. The year 2015. And I'll say this, the most foolish thing you can do is to enter into another year without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater mistake you can make, because you don't know what another year brings, let alone another day. And I'll tell you what, you don't want God against you, because there's no greater enemy. There could be no greater foe. There could be no greater enemy than to have God against you. But rather, come to Jesus Christ. Lay down your arms. Don't pretend you're neutral, but come, confess your sins. Believe upon him, this one who died for sinners. He so loved his people that he died in order to take them to heaven. He can only do helpless sinners good. Come to him. Don't be against him, but be for him. For he that is not with me, Jesus said, is against me. He that gathereth not scattereth. Amen.